Let's do it. What is going on, beautiful people? So happy to have you here with us off a exciting weekend, to put it mildly. Got a lot of stuff to get into and 3 hours to do it. Here with you until 1 o'clock, and we are always grateful for your presence around here. Lucas is here in one piece, so am I, much to the surprise of everybody who was out with us on Friday night. Good God. We'll tell you what happened with that. Somebody getting robbed at my birthday dinner. Not exactly.
How dare they?
How I thought. I mean, listen, I even got an apology cake out of it. I'll tell you what's going on with that at 10:45. If you want to get involved with the show, 615-737-1045 is how you do so. 615-737-1045. I mean, where even to begin? Obviously, SEC Media Days begins today. Delanie Walker has taken a blowtorch to the entirety of the Titans internet, going on NFL, I think it was Sirius XM, NFL radio, and just lighting a match with some gasoline underneath the Titans fan base. So we'll play for you that audio in the noon hour. And then the Preds, I guess that's where we should start. By the way, good morning, Lucas. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing quite well. Like you said, a jam-packed weekend. Although I have somewhere else we can start. There is brand new breaking news that you need to hear about.
Let's do it.
Breaking news on the Buck Rising Show. The Twitter gods have answered his prayer. Buck is verified.
No.
Now your host of the Buck Rising Show, Buck Checkmark Rising.
You gotta be kidding me. Rhett Bryan, Rhett Root Bryan, the voice of this radio show. It's not actually me. Look at him. He's got a bleep-eating grin staring at me across from the Titans radio studio. That's outstanding. Yeah, I got my check mark. That's where we're going to start. Here I'm actively looking to not be self-involved today, Lucas. But finally, in a complete and total upset, my birthday weekend had gone to hell. By the way, it doesn't actually happen until Tuesday, so you guys got to put up with me until then. But yes, I awoke Sunday morning. I did not check my email, so I was not aware that I had been verified on social media. Finally, it's all that I've ever wanted. It's the only thing that matters to me outside of my birthday in this world. Finally, some validation. I needed a dumb website where there's nothing ever good happens to tell me that I'm actually me. So I woke up Sunday morning. I was getting ready to have a relaxed day and then did not have a relaxed day. I'll tell you more about that later in the show. But all of a sudden I start getting tweets. I start getting tweets about, yo, you got your check mark. And I've had that Johnny drama. In fact, if you could pull up the tweet, I have had that Johnny drama from Entourage. For any of you who are familiar with the show Entourage, I've had that video saved in my phone for 6 years, ever since I downloaded Twitter, in the event that I would finally get this validation that I so desperately crave. Matters to nobody else but me. And I totally understand that. But oh my God, when I saw that I was getting these tweets and I finally looked to see that it had actually happened, I have been saving this video for such a long time just for this moment. Puka tweets me, the Preds are the least interesting of all these things mentioned. Well, it's a good thing that Lucas deterred me from talking about the Nashville Predators then. Hunter Moss on Facebook Live says, Buck's verified. Yeah. I mean, there is nothing, it's about as stupid a thing as could happen because it affects nobody but me. But just know that it's all I wanted for my birthday. And given that somebody got held up at gunpoint on my birthday, this was the validation that I needed. Let's play the clip.
Love you, buddy.
I love you guys too.
You're damn right, victory. Johnny Drama. Just the way that he drops to his knees and says, thank you, God. That's exactly how I felt Sunday.
What was it in the show? What victory did he have in the show? I'm trying to remember what got him to do that in the show.
Oh, so he was a character on, it was called like Viking Quest or something like that.
I remember that's where victory came from.
Right. So you're asking what was the impetus for that victory?
Right, right.
I think he got like a full-time acting.
Yeah, I think it was like that sequence when he had that cartoon.
Yes.
Besides the point.
What, Johnny Bananas or something like that? Yes. Entourage was great until like the seventh season, and then Vince started to get a little whiny for me, and that's when things started to fade. Also, the movie was trash. I went to see that in college.
It was.
I was not impressed with that. It was just a bunch of famous people cameos with not a very good plot line. But I digress. It has finally happened. So props to Lucas and to Rhett Bryan for making something. I wasn't going to do it today. I don't think I don't think Lucas believes that. I don't think anybody listening to this radio show believes that. But I wasn't going to do it today.
That's all Rhett. Yeah, I can't take any credit for that.
I love that man so much. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved. So we'll save the Preds for later because we are ramping up to what is the red meat of this week. It is SEC Media Days, ladies and gentlemen. We are on the doorstep of football season. Mercifully, we will have training camp, next week for the Tennessee Titans?
Yes.
I was speaking with some people over there. They are reporting on, a lot of them are going to be in the building on Saturday. I think the official report day for the Titans is next Tuesday. But in the meantime, we have SEC Media Days. Now, new Vols head coach, Josh Heupel, will speak to the media tomorrow, and we will carry, I think, the majority of that press conference live for you on these airwaves. Today, however, we have, two SEC East coaches with Dan Mullen and Shane Beamer, who I found out this morning is the new head coach of South Carolina. I don't know why I thought it was still Will Muschamp until I opened up the schedule and be like, who the hell is Shane Beamer?
It was the most forgettable offseason hire made by any SEC program.
Yeah, because at least Brian Harsin, everybody looked around at Auburn and was like, the hell is this?
Yeah.
Where is he from? Boise State?
Boise State. Previously Arkansas State.
The guy who's never left Idaho? What are you talking about? So Dan Mullen, Ed Orgeron, and Shane Beamer are at the podium today. And so we will have a lot of coverage for you from SEC Media Days. In fact, 3HL is live broadcasting down there all week long. So make sure that you are tuned into that. In fact, we have asked Dawn Davenport to join this show. Is she boycotting me? Do we have some kind? I mean, obviously, Dawn and I have constant friction. But is she ignoring your text messages? Is that what you told me this morning?
I don't think she's just been able to nail down a time. SEC Media Days is a very fluid week down in Hoover. So she has committed to being our daily correspondent all week long.
Except she's not doing two of the days.
With the exception of tomorrow, because we'll have Heupel. We're not sure how long that's going to last, what time he'll be on. We'll have Jonathan Crompton to come on and talk about it. But, yes, we will have Dawn Davenport, hopefully at some point today.
So what you're saying is she's committed to be our daily correspondent without actually doing it on a daily basis.
Yes.
It's a heady play by her. But anyway, I mean, the most interesting storylines out of this SEC Media Days, now that we're starting to get ramped up, we're starting to get hype for football season, no pun intended, talking about Josh Heupel. I mean, the more that I think about it, what else is there that is new other than, one, it will not be an all-exclusive SEC schedule, inter-SEC schedule again this year. We will have normalized out-of-conference games once again, and a really good out-of-conference slate, by the way, for the SEC. We'll go through a lot of those games with you later on in the show. But outside of that, I mean, Lucas, correct me if I'm wrong, but the biggest thing to result, or at least to look for heading into this SEC season, is not any kind of change in the balance of power, because it's Nick Saban at the top, it's Alabama at the top. Georgia will probably be a threat, and maybe Dan Mullen can keep one of his kids from throwing a shoe and costing them a chance at the college football playoff. But outside of that, I think it's the four new coaches. And really, it's only three, because I didn't know who the hell Shane Beamer was until we walked into the studio today.
Yeah, that's not a few nice. Coaches making their first impression, but you're right. It's Alabama and everybody else, Georgia and everybody else, as it has been.
So I guess the question that I would have for SEC football fans, which is all of us, is, does this diminish your excitement? Because I am excited. I am excited for football, even as I think we all expect the Tennessee Volunteers to be in a less than ideal place in the year of the Rona 2021. Like, I don't think the expectations are over the top. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a good thing, because any success that the Vols have this year will just be, what, gravy, right? It will just help ease the pain of what most of us expect to be a difficult season for them to get through in Josh Heupel's first year. But I wonder, And if you want to weigh in on this, 615-737-1045, does the fact that it's the same old song, and it's been like this for the better part of a decade, so I don't know that I'm telling you guys anything that you don't know, but does the fact that it's the same faces, the same names, the same teams at the top do anything to diminish your excitement, diminish your joy about this upcoming football season? Because I am intrigued to see what Clark Lea can do at Vanderbilt. I don't know how many other people are looking at that and saying, yes, that has me fired up to see what happens in the SEC East this coming fall. I am curious about what Josh Heupel does and whether his proficiency on the offensive side of the football is enough to make up for their deficiency on the defensive side of the football. Who the quarterback will be will always remain, no matter what sport, no matter what team, will always be a topic of intrigue that fans want to know about. This is something that we have yet to discover. In fact, maybe Josh Heupel, I doubt it, but maybe Josh Heupel will shed some light on that tomorrow when he takes the podium in Hoover, Alabama.
It's also the first SEC Media Day is in 2 years. Right. So you're talking about Lane Kiffin's first one as the head coach at Ole Miss. Eli Drinkwitz's first one as the head coach at Missouri.
Yeah, but then, I mean, does that have the sex appeal? Right? Like Lane Kiffin is, you know, Lane Kiffin is a main event no matter what he does. Whether he's trolling people on Twitter, whether he's showing up to games in an A.J. Brown Ole Miss jersey. Like Lane Kiffin is going to put on a show, but like, does Eli Drinkwitz do anything for you? Are you excited about the prospect of Eli Drinkwitz at SEC Media
Eli
days?
Drinkwitz in front of a microphone?
Get
fired up, man.
Let's go, baby. I mean, he's kind of fiery.
No, he is. He's actually kind of underrated in front of a microphone now that we make fun of it.
Well, you made fun of it. 615-737-1045. We'll find out what we should be discussing, what the biggest storylines are, because maybe I'm downplaying this. And I don't mean to do that at all, because I'm excited for football season as any of you. I am ready to go. I am ready to get this started. And I'm sure as hell ready to see packed houses in SEC stadiums this fall, starting this August, late August, once SEC play begins, once the NCAA gets things going in the world of college football and then into the NFL season. But so I don't mean to be dismissive of it. I'm legitimately asking the question, what am I to be excited about? What should I be looking for out of these SEC media days? We'll talk to Blake Topmeyer of USA Today. He's their SEC columnist, of course, spending many years in Knoxville for the Knoxville News Sentinel covering the University of Tennessee. Blake will fill us in on these storylines today. Coming up next, I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. So, SEC Media Days is off and rolling. A little bit of flair here for you on this Monday. Here with you until 1 o'clock on 104.5 The Zone. 3HL, remember, broadcasting live all week long down in Hoover, Alabama. They will give you the best coverage. We will do so as well when our friend Blake Topmeyer of USA Today gets ready to join us here in just a second. And we go over the biggest storylines that will come out of this week in the SEC. Now, Blake has obviously spent a great deal of time, been one of the best reporters, beat writers for the University of Tennessee that they've had down there in the last couple of years. And so Blake will have unique perspective and insights on the University of Tennessee. But, I mean, the question that I asked you guys before we took a break was what is the biggest storyline that you are looking to see out of SEC Media Day? So we've asked the question of the audience. Now it is the time. Now it is time to ask the question of our friend Blake Topmeyer, who covers the SEC, is an SEC columnist for the USA Today Network. At B Topmeyer is where you can follow him on Twitter. What's up, Blake?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going great. So what is the biggest storyline that you're looking for out of this week of press conferences and media availability, Blake? Because honestly, the more that I looked at it, I'm just like, well, yeah, this is same old, outside of four new coaches in the SEC and one of them with, you know, a particular local interest at the University of Tennessee.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's going to be so much dialogue this week about name, image, and likeness, about expanded playoff, the whole bit. I think that will be a little bit exhausting, honestly, to hear one coach after another asked about those topics. I think for me, the most interesting thing is we're hearing not only from the four new coaches from the first time at this format, but also the four first-year coaches from last year. Of course, Media Days was canceled last year because of the pandemic. So really, 8 of the 14 coaches we're hearing from for the first time at their current school. And I think, you know, for me, I'm curious to see what kind of show Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach put on. You know, those guys are made for this type of event. You know, they're almost cut from the Steve Spurrier mold, I guess, who annually entertained at this event for many years. So I think the back-to-back days of Kiffin and Leach maybe has my interest.
Certainly. But with Mike Leach specifically, I guess that's as good a place as any to start. At what point, I don't want to call it a shtick because I think that's legitimately his personality. Like Mike Leach across the decades has been this kind of quirky, but at what point does that start to wear on SEC and Mississippi State fans who look at him and say, okay, yeah, you beat the brakes off of LSU in the first game of last year, and then everything went to hell very, very quickly. Like, at what point does that start to wear people down?
I think that's what's so interesting about Mike Leach's career. I mean, one stop after another, Texas Tech, Washington State, I think he's got programs performing at a level where they really had no business performing. On the other hand, he's good for about one or two just inexplicable losses per year. I mean, he delivers those victories, like beating the defending national champion, and then he'll have head-scratching defeats on the heels of that. So he can be sort of a maddening coach, but I do think for Mississippi State, he's a pretty good fit. I think his shtick, if you will, as we're calling it, I think it'll play well there as long as he wins some games. You know, I think that fan base is still modestly optimistic after year one. I think, you know, he kind of had the year one free pass, and so many starters returned for Mississippi State. So I think that fan base right now is feeling somewhat optimistic. But, you know, certainly his routine is only cute. It's only funny if you're winning games. I think it can be exhausting for fan base if you're losing.
Blake Topmeyer of the USA Today Network, SEC columnist, is here with us on 104.5 The Zone, obviously, because we're talking about SEC Media Days, the biggest story this week in sports, at least here locally. So we've heard from Dan Mullen, LSU, and Ed Orgeron, South Carolina, and new coach Shane Beamer are slated for today as well. What are you looking to hear from these three coaches, or what were you looking for out of their media availability, and what were you able to learn?
Well, they're also still on tap today. I think Ed Orgeron maybe is the most interesting one because of all the off-season drama and issues that LSU has encountered on the heels of a disappointing season last year. You know, LSU did not defend its national championship in an impressive fashion, really, really struggled last year. I think LSU is poised to be pretty good this year. They got questions at quarterback, but they got two good options. You know, I'll be curious to see if we learn any more about the quarterback competition between Miles Brennan and Max Johnson. But really, I'm definitely interested to see how Ed Orgeron addresses what was, as I said, an offseason full of issues off the field, a lot of which occurred, you know, into the past. But right, the reporting on that occurred this offseason. With LSU's allegations that LSU has mishandled sexual misconduct, sexual assault. So, yeah, definitely, I think Ed Orgeron will be kind of in the spotlight today, and then also Commissioner Sankey gets us rolling here shortly.
With Orgeron and the issues that you're talking about, not, I mean, they are football related because they took place within the football program, but off the field issues. I mean, maybe this isn't a fair question for you, Blake, but is he equipped to be able to speak on this kind of stuff? I understand that they have PR people all around him and that they're going to try and make this as sanitized as humanly possible so he doesn't talk himself into a bad position. But, I mean, is he equipped to be able to do something like this?
Well, I think you better be.
Right.
I mean, when you come to this type of event, I think your team has to prep you for anything and everything, and I think that's an obvious one to prep him for. You know, I think we've seen coaches probably face, you know, far more out of left field questions than that would be. I mean, I think that's certainly fair game. I think he should be prepped for it. You know, and he should be prepared to speak on it. I mean, he's the CEO of the football program. He's the man in charge. Now, some of this even dates back to prior to his tenure, but not all of it. And as the head man, the front man of the football program, I think you got to be prepared to speak on anything, regardless of whether it's inside the lines or outside the lines. So, yeah, certainly. I mean, I think he has to be prepared for it. If he's not, that's going to be a really bad look on top of, what's been a really messy offseason for LSU.
Maybe I shouldn't go in pessimistically, because I just think of Ed Orgeron and I think of him screaming at a sideline, not screaming at a sideline reporter, but in the middle of a rainstorm screaming "Go Tigers" at a sideline reporter. And I don't think that this is the man who I would imagine would be properly equipped to discuss things of this nature. But you're absolutely right. This is what comes with the position that he has. With Dan Mullen, what am I to make of this man? Because Kirby Smart is the decided favorite in the SEC East, but Florida is so intriguing to me, Blake, for a great many reasons, not the least of which is Dan Mullen. Where does he – perhaps it's too early in his tenure, but he's been around the SEC long enough to kind of understand where he stacks up. What are reasonable expectations for Florida and that program this year, given the success that they seem to be on the precipice of in 2020 and that evaporated very, very quickly at the end of the year?
I think reasonable expectations are to get back to Atlanta. I mean, I know Georgia is rightfully the overwhelming favorite in the East, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Florida should be expecting to get back to Atlanta. And I think, last season was just so baffling for Florida because, at times they were so impressive and then had the late season loss in the fog to LSU with the shoe throw. And then they come back in Atlanta against Alabama and actually give Alabama its best game of the season. So, really up and down, I thought, from Florida last year. I thought overall was certainly a step in the right direction for that program under a third-year coach. Mullen's so interesting. At this event, he almost comes across as that like goofy uncle. I was thinking about this a couple days ago. Like, Nick Saban used to be the villain of the SEC. If you weren't an Alabama fan, you didn't like Nick Saban. I think that's sort of worn off him for a number of reasons. I don't really think Saban comes across as the villain in the SEC anymore. And I was thinking, who is the new villain in the SEC that rival fan bases just can't stand? Yeah. And I thought about Mullen briefly, but he's almost just too quirky, too goofy, I think, to really totally just get under rival fan bases' skin. I think Kirby Smart is the new villain in the SEC. If you're not a Georgia fan, I think Kirby just eats at so many fan bases. I think his success at Georgia and knocking on the door in a way that Georgia didn't do as many games as they won under Mark Richt. They weren't at this level under Mark Richt. I think Kirby's the new villain in the SEC. And oddly, despite Saban's prolonged success, he's kind of moved off that perch.
Well, I mean, we need villains in sports.
This I think is, so.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, I imagine you think so. You're a columnist. You need to have a bad guy for the story,
right,
Blake. Without question. Blake Topmeyer of the USA Today Network, SEC columnist, here with us on 104.5 The Zone. We're talking about SEC Media Days. All right. So Josh Heupel of the University of Tennessee is one of four new head coaches. What do you need to hear and see from Josh Heupel for him to make, I don't want to say the best impression out of the four, but what do you need to hear from him to be satisfied with the questions that you have regarding his program at this juncture?
Well, I'll add a quick caveat that really nothing that happens in these 4 days really has much bearing on a coach's tenure or a season or anything like that. So with that caveat out of the way, what do we need to hear from Josh Heupel? I think he should address the ongoing NCAA investigation head on.
Yeah.
I think it would be wise to actually address that in his opening statement, and he can try to control the message then if he's addressing it head on, even though these allegations of recruiting malfeasance didn't occur under his watch. Sort of like what we were talking about earlier, when you're the CEO of the football program, like he is now, you got to be prepared to speak on anything. And I think he should meet that head on. I think he needs to frame Tennessee as still a place where top level recruits should consider. I think he should be careful though about talking about Tennessee's rich history. We still hear Tennessee coaches talking about the storied past of Tennessee and how great the history is in that program. And the fact of the matter is there's no recruit in high school right now who was alive the last time that Tennessee was on top of college football. So,
right.
So don't dive into the history, because all you're doing is reminding people that it's been since 1998 that Tennessee was on top of college football. Talk about the here and now. Talk about the direction that he sees this program going. In particular, I think he should promote his offense, his brand of football. You know, in that Tennessee's, if you're someone who wants to play in an up-tempo, exciting offense that historically has proven to score a bunch of points and you get to put up big numbers, that Tennessee's a place where you can play. I think that's you know, something he can definitely sell and should sell during his turn on stage, is his offense and his style of play.
We got people, we're on what we call Zone TV right now, Blake, and we got people writing in the chat on YouTube. People got to stop looking through orange tinted glasses. And to your point, you know, I'm right there with you about being a proponent of not focusing so much on the history of the University of Tennessee, but finally trying to put a fresh coat of, I mean, they've tried to put a fresh coat of paint on this thing many, many times over as we go through this coaching, hiring and firing cycle, it seems every 3 years in the last decade. But our fans, Blake, you spent enough time covering this team, you spent enough time in Knoxville and around this fan base. Are Vols fans okay with not hearing about their storied program and trying to move into the future? Do you get the sense that the majority are comfortable with that? Because that, I think, is if he does go with the direction of the history of the program, I think it's because he's trying to keep the peace among the people who care about that stuff.
Yeah, I think Vols fans are okay with you know, with that not being discussed at an event like today. I think where you have to be careful is certainly, I think you need, Tennessee fans want you to be reverent of their history, but I don't think they need to hear their head coach talk about it in an event like today. You know, as long as, I think that's more opening press conference stuff, you know, and Josh Heupel did that. He referred to Tennessee's history and, you know, how when he was growing up and in college, Tennessee was, you know, was still one of the power programs in college football. He's already addressed all that. He's shown his reverence for Tennessee's history. But like I said, I think that's opening presser stuff when you're really only speaking to your fans. At this event, you're speaking to really all of college football, and more importantly, you're speaking to recruits and recruits' parents, you know, who might check out what you have to say, who might catch snippets of what you said on the SEC network, or they might listen to analysts talking about what you said during your time. So I really think that this event more so has to be putting forth the message for your program right now, putting forward the message for your tenure, and speaking to recruits. So I don't think, you know, this is really the time and the place that he should be talking about Tennessee's history, because as I said, it just reminds recruits of how long it's been since Tennessee's been relevant.
Yeah. Blake, it's obviously been 2 years since we've had this event. As a Titans reporter, I haven't had an in-person press conference in God knows how long. Are you excited to be able to get in there and move around and be in the presence of people who you're interviewing again?
It's going to be so different that I don't know, because, like, you know, one of the fun things about media days is, like, the, you know, when the players are stationed at three tables around the room and kind of seeing the throngs of reporters around those players. And, you know, if you get a good spot, you might be able to pump in a couple questions in a row, get some follow-ups in. Now, this year, the players are going to be on the podium in a more moderated interview. You know, they're chalking that up to COVID. You know, it's an unfortunate reality of the event this year. It's going to be more moderated, especially with the players, than we're used to in the past. So, you know, I don't know. I don't feel the, personally, maybe this is just, I haven't been to this event enough times that, you know, maybe the shine has come off a little bit. I don't feel quite the excitement that you might expect, but you know, really, it's when we get back to those face to face, sit down, one on one type sessions,
right?
That you're able to get now, that I think are exciting. I was able to do a few of those this summer, and that to me, I really enjoyed. You know, being able to sit down with a head coach in his office, you know, and talk face to face. This event, like I said, it's almost going to be, I don't want to say watered down, but an altered version of what we expect of SEC media days. And so from that sense, I don't know. It's the way it has to be, I suppose, but it's kind of frustrating too.
But it's still in person, right, for the first time in 2 years. You said it off the top. And as coaches bring in players that they want to be the face of their program, you said name, image, and likeness right at the start of the interview. That's going to be a constant topic throughout coaches' availabilities throughout the entire week. But for players, is this kind of an opportunity this week? You think those conversations will be had in Hoover as far as selling themselves and, I mean, on the other side, trying to get players to represent certain brands? Like, is there going to be a way to avoid that this week, or do you think that's going to happen?
And do we hear a player plug like a car dealership in the middle of their media availability?
How long till that happens?
Yeah.
I mean, they should, you know, if they're getting money from them. But yeah, I mean, for player, you know, maybe I just come across as like this jaded reporter who's not excited about this. But if I'm a player, yeah, you got to get up for this event more so than ever, I think, because every time you have a media opportunity like this now, you're not only speaking to fans, you're speaking to potential companies that might want to do business with you.
Right.
So I think more than ever, media opportunities are a chance to kind of put your brand forward and give companies a chance to see, hey, is this someone I might want to do business with? You know, yeah, I mean, joking about hawking products up there, you got to be careful with that. But I think we'll probably see a day where, you know, you might see athletes that are endorsing certain companies or products. They might give a quick shout out in the way that almost a NASCAR driver would. I don't know that's what we want out of our interviews, but it's just the reality of this new landscape, I think. But absolutely, this is a big stage. At this time in the sports calendar, you know, SEC Media Days claims kind of an outsized level of attention for what it really is. I mean, you get down to it, it's 4 days of people talking.
Yeah.
But you got baseball season going. But overall, I think, you know, at this point in the sports calendar, particularly college sports fans, you know, they're ready for anything that reminds them that college football season is around the corner. So this event gets a lot more attention than when you think probably what it deserves of just four days of people talking. So, yeah, big opportunity, I think, for athletes to know that they're going to be, you know, a lot of this stuff's going to be appearing on TV, SEC Network. Companies have a chance to get to know them a little bit, get to know their personality, their brand, and maybe see if they want to strike a deal with them.
I'm just saying, if Bo Nix walks up there and he's not holding a Milo sweet tea, I'm going to be pissed if I'm Milo's. That's all I'm saying, Blake.
I'm picturing JT Daniels in like a varsity hat and t-shirt at the podium.
Yeah, I mean, you could almost do it in kind of a funny way. I think nobody would really have their feathers too ruffled if Bo Nix goes up there drinking a sweet tea. Like you said, I mean, I think it'd be kind of funny. I almost hope he does do that. That'd be that would really remind you and put it right in front of everybody, the new landscape that we're in now.
At B. Topmeyer is where you can follow Blake Topmeyer of the USA Today Network. He is an SEC columnist there, always doing great work and providing us great content when he is able to join us. Blake, thanks for the time, man. I know you sounded a little bit jaded, but try and enjoy it, huh?
Will do. Thanks, guys.
All right. We will come back and react to what Blake had to say. And I'll tell you how somebody got robbed at gunpoint at my birthday dinner. That's a tease. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. All right, so we had quite the weekend. It was a mess. Now, first I got to say a couple things. I could not be more grateful to Nashville SC, to our friends at T-Mobile, our friends at Edley's, for putting on a hell of a time for us this Saturday at the soccer game. Before the soccer game, a great time was had by all. It was so fun to be able to meet some of the people who listen to this show, and we're hopeful that we can do a lot more of these events with you guys, because the people that we met, like Matt and Spencer, our friend Josh Black, the comedian, was out there with us as well. It was so much fun to be able to hang out with you guys and enjoy a soccer game together. And it helps that Nashville SC just absolutely clubbed Chicago. Like, this was, and I don't, you know, no pun intended, because we were in club level. They beat the holy hell out of them, is what happened. There were three goals by Hanny Mukhtar in how many minutes? It was like 13.
The 16th minute, I believe, is when he banged in that free kick for the hat trick. Fastest hat trick from kickoff in MLS history. Second fastest hat trick as far as a time span in MLS history.
It was a spectacular show. Now, they ended up winning that game. Well, when we left, it was 5-1. I don't know what the final
score was. That was the final.
Final score ended up being 5-1. We left what? I think right as extra time was beginning.
Stoppage time.
Yeah. So, okay, forgive me, stoppage
No,
time.
You're good. You're
Weren't
good.
You going to correct? I thought you were not going to correct me.
Same thing. Same thing.
615-737-1045. But I teased here because that was only a portion of our weekend. I have been, and this is what I get, okay, for being so obnoxious and being a diva and a D-bag about my birthday. We had all manner of events planned Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for me to be able to enjoy my birthday weekend. My birthday is, in fact, not until Tuesday. So everybody who is wishing me a happy birthday, because nobody else celebrates theirs the way that I do over the course of basically 2 weeks. This was something that, you know, I it was going to be tough for it to live up for the expectations that I had set for myself. Now, what I did not expect to happen was this. We went out in Germantown for dinner on Friday night. We were planning to go to a club in Printer's Alley later Friday evening. I had booked a table for me and 20 of my closest friends, Lucas and his girlfriend Megan, who I was lucky enough to meet over the weekend. Megan, who I really very much enjoyed. Very fiery. Very upfront, which I appreciate. Yes, the first thing she says to me is not hello. She says, holy hell, you're tall.
It was the boots.
Thank you. Well, yes, I did have man heels on. That's fair. But so we have dinner in Germantown on Friday night, and then we're going to go to this club, okay? Bottle service, you know, people with the, and I don't drink, I will drink champagne, but the preference would have been tequila bottles with the sparklers in them as opposed to the champagne bottles, because the tequila is the weapon of choice for your boy. Now, in this regard, all of these plans were very, very quickly derailed on Friday night because we went to dinner at about 8:30. We left dinner in Germantown, lovely, lovely neighborhood, lovely part of Germantown, at 11 o'clock to leave to the club. We were waiting outside. Many of my friends who went to dinner with us had already Ubered to Printer's Alley and were awaiting us there. Myself, my girlfriend Dara, and I believe another couple that had gone out with us were waiting with my friend, one of my best friends. He used to live with me when we first moved down here, lived with me in the Gulch when we first moved to town like 6 years ago. His name's Larry Boots, okay? So Larry is waiting for me, I'm waiting with Larry's 7th-month pregnant wife, Devin, who is a gem unto herself, but she was wanting, rightfully, for Larry to bring the car around, pick her up outside of the restaurant. Great. So we're waiting for Larry. He goes to get the car. We're waiting for Larry together, and we start to, you know, we don't get worried because it's taking a little longer than we think it should take to go get the vehicle, but long enough to where you're like, oh, what the hell is he doing? So then Larry calls his wife, Devin, who, again, I remind you, is 7 months pregnant. Now, I've never been myself 7 months pregnant, but I can imagine that it would be, you know, an emotional experience no matter what state you are in, no matter if your husband is being held up at gunpoint or not. And Larry calls his wife and says, hey, I just got robbed. Dara looks at me and says, is he messing with us? Is he bleeping with us? And I'm like, I don't know if Larry's got a twisted sense of humor, and I'll explain more of that here in a second. But I don't think that even Larry is dumb enough to lie to his 7-month pregnant wife and say, hey, honey, I just got held up.
Psych.
Surprise.
That would be a bold move.
You know, it would be not a heady play. Not a heady play by him. So immediately we go into panic mode. And for whatever reason, he's parked like 3 blocks away from the restaurant where he has been robbed. We get to where he is and the car is, if you're familiar with Germantown, it's right in Morgan Park. Okay, there's a park with some apartment buildings around it. And Morgan Park is directly across the street from the restaurant that we ate at. No free shout-outs, unfortunately, for them. We find Larry. Thank God that he's okay, all right? Because what he described to us, because he was going to be our... They weren't going out. You're not going to take the seven-month pregnant woman to the club, even though she seemed willing to go. I don't think that would necessarily be a great experience for the baby. You wouldn't want, you know, him to pop out, him or her to pop out at 9 months vibing to Cascada or something like that. You know what I'm saying? David Guetta.
A little Dua Lipa.
On the brain, levitating. But we get, so Larry is going to drive us to the club. So whilst Larry is putting up the back seats of his now soccer dad car, because since him and his lovely wife have come with child, they have upgraded their vehicle, or at least from a size standpoint. So he says to us that while he was putting up the back seats, the third row, to take us all to the club, he got a pistol pressed into the back of his skull. This dude robbed him, took his wallet and his keys, did not take the car, did not take his phone, did not take, he had a chain on, I believe, did not take the chain, took nothing else out of the car, took his wallet and his keys, okay? So we obviously call 911. We wait with Larry at the car. Larry's okay. His wife is losing her mind, rightfully so. God only knows what's going through her head at that time because she's pregnant. If Larry'd have gotten shot, she's raising the kid on her own like it's a whole deal. I can't even imagine the range of emotions that run through this, all whilst at a birthday dinner for their friend who is doing nothing but making it about himself. That's me. So Larry is trying to get me to go out and not wait with them for the cops to arrive and the tow truck to arrive, because they don't want to leave the car there because the guy who's robbed them has their keys. They're afraid that people might leave the car alone, that the guy who has robbed them will come back and then steal the car after the scene has been cleared. Wasn't this on the news this weekend? Tara Adams tweets us, all the cars being robbed over the weekend. Sure as hell in Morgan Park, which Germantown was not the place that I would expect it to be robbed. Not that tourists get held up all the time on Broadway. And it's not like, I mean, we were out to a very nice restaurant, and this was not the scenario that I thought, you know, my buddy would have a pistol pulled on him and pushed in the back of his skull. Because I call Lucas at like 11:30. I'm like, because Lucas and Megan, his girlfriend, were going to meet us out. And I call Lucas, they're at the Sounds game. I'm like, hey, buddy, we're probably not going to the club tonight. Like, I'm sorry to break this to you. I'm sorry you and Megan went to a Sounds game looking like, you know, you're going to a rave or something like that. Looking like you're going to the Palm in Las Vegas.
Megan looked like she was going to the Met Gala at the Sounds game.
So, because they asked me, and I thought about it. Do I want to go out or do I want to stay with Larry and his pregnant wife? this was a difficult decision for me to make.
Good luck, guys.
And I ultimately opted to stay. Tomahawk Chop wants to know what restaurant. I don't want to do that to the restaurant because I think that's a bit unfair. Like, I don't want to, you know, say, hey, I got robbed outside of restaurant X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, and no free shout-outs.
And no, well, one, I don't want to hurt their business. Two, I don't want to give them a free shout-out. So if they want to spend money with the show, that's fine. But, like, that's not how we work around here.
But you said he wasn't even carrying cash, right?
No. I mean, who carries cash? Do you carry cash?
No. Like, the risk-reward on robbing somebody at gunpoint and just taking a wallet and keys, to me, it just isn't there.
No, because you're going to cancel your credit cards. Like, this person was either very, very desperate or very, very dumb.
And, like, you could take the car, but, like, everybody, it gets reported as stolen. You're just driving around a stolen car.
Right. Like, that's, you're only making things worse for yourself.
That's like betting $100 to win 10.
Yeah. So at that point, I make the decision to stay as opposed to keeping my reservation at the nightclub. And I am going to stay with Larry and his wife, Devin. And Dara and I are going to gut it out with them. Now, Dara and Devin went to go to their apartment building in West End because they had to basically, and this was terrible, by both the police. And listen, it's a tough job to be a police officer. There's no question about it. And from my understanding, they are wildly understaffed, I guess is the word that you would use right now among Metro Police. And those of them who are available on a Friday night are probably scraping drunks off the sidewalk at Broadway because that's where most of the poor choices are being made that would require police involvement. But we opted to stay there because the police officers that showed up said, hey, yeah, wait for the car. We can't wait with you. We've got other things we got to do, despite us being with a 7-month pregnant woman. And again, I appreciate the police officers and all that they do. I just don't think that this was necessarily handled the best possible way it could have to basically leave us out where our friend had been robbed with his pregnant wife and no ability to leave the scene other than to leave them there with the car. It was a disaster. And then the apartment building that these two live in wouldn't let them into their apartment, wouldn't use their master key to get them into their apartment because they needed a copy of their lease and their ID at 1:30 in the damn morning. You got to be kidding me. So all of it ended up being resolved. Thank God that nobody got hurt. But yeah, this is what I get for making a big deal out of my birthday. Somebody left my birthday dinner peeing blood, had to go to the ER. The other person got robbed. All right? Robbed at gunpoint. So long story short, don't go out with me for my birthday because bad things will happen to you. And then Larry ended up bringing to my house the next day a custom-made Kroger cake that says, sorry, we got robbed on it. So all was forgiven. We'll come back and we will talk about what the hell is happening with the Nashville Predators and the fire sale that appears to be going on the other side. More SEC Media Days coverage as well, and Delanie Walker starting fires across Titans Twitter. All that and more coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone.